A lot of things going on, a lot of ways to stay connected with the various areas and ministries of the church. So I hope that you're doing that. Hope you've gathered your family together. If you're watching us live this morning, get your cup of coffee and get ready as we talk about embracing the hope. Amen. My in-laws lived with us for several months before my father-in-law, Ray, went on to be with Jesus. And he was battling cancer at that time and living in pain. And yet every morning when I would come into the living room, usually he was already in there. And regardless of how he was feeling, regardless of what might have been ahead for him in that day, every morning Ray would say, "Good morning." And it is a good morning. And may I say to you on this Easter Sunday of 2020, good morning. And it is a good morning. It's a good morning, for Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ is risen, and we are saved from our sins. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. We are forgiven. Christ is risen, and we have hope today, and we need to embrace the hope. Every Easter, for the past several years, I've read from St. John Chrysostom's Easter homily from the 4th century. He wrote, "Let no one weep for his iniquities, for pardon has shone forth from the grave. Let no one fear death, for the Savior's death has set us free. He that was held prisoner of death has annihilated it. By descending into hell, Christ made hell captive. And so now we sing the triumphant hymn, O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? For Christ is risen. And hell is overthrown. Christ is risen, and the demons are fallen. Christ is risen, and the angels rejoice. Christ is risen, and life reigns. Christ is risen, and not one dead remains in the grave." Hallelujah. I can't hear you because I'm in this sanctuary alone this morning, but somebody ought to be shouting amen somewhere. Christ is risen, and friends, it is a good morning. Yeah, but you say, but there's a worldwide pandemic. Yes, but Christ is risen, and he's a healer. Christ is risen, and all things are possible. Yeah, but my business is closed. I don't have a job. Yes, but Christ is risen, and that means there's still hope. But we're sheltering in place. We haven't been out of the house in weeks. I know you haven't been out of the house, but Christ came out of the tomb alive and well, risen from the dead. I'm preaching to empty chairs this morning, but Christ is risen. He rose in triumph, in victory over death, hell, and the grave. Christ is risen, and there is hope. And I'll say it repeatedly this morning, embrace the hope today. Embrace the hope that's ours through Christ. Now, I know this Easter is different from any other we've experienced. Unexpected and somewhat difficult circumstances, and we're separated from family and friends that usually gather on this day. It's an uncertain future and perhaps certainly an unsettled present. But you know what? The first Easter started out in a very similar manner to this one. You say, what do you mean? Well, here's what John says. John writes, on the evening of that first day of the week, I think this is John's Gospel, chapter 20. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? They were locked in the house. The first Easter started like ours. The disciples were sheltering in place. They were safer at home. They were fearful. Fearful not of a disease, but fearful of those Jewish leaders that had turned Jesus over to Pilate and to the Romans to be crucified. They weren't going to the temple for prayer or for sacrifice. They weren't going shopping. They weren't going to eat with their friends. They were hiding in the house, the Bible says, behind locked doors out of fear. Talk about uncertain times. And like many of us, I think the disciples were suddenly feeling uncertain about a lot of things. They had been convinced, as they had followed Jesus for the past 3+ years, they were convinced that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, but how quickly things had changed. Last Sunday, the day we call Palm Sunday, well, the week before for the disciples, they had arrived into Jerusalem with Jesus, and the crowds were welcoming them, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord," as Jesus rode into the city on a donkey, fulfilling the messianic prophecies of the prophet Zechariah. They must have felt vindicated. The disciples were thinking, see, the whole city now believes and now accepts what we've been saying all along, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. But then came Thursday night and his arrest in the garden. And Friday, they didn't even want to think about how awful Friday was as they watched Jesus sentenced to death and beaten beyond recognition and crucified and dying and then buried. And now on top, to top it all off, the ladies have come back, his body's missing, and they're just sitting in that room clueless as to what's going on. What do we do now? What's happening? What are we supposed to do? They were uncertain, unsettled. And remember in Luke 24, it tells us about the two disciples that are on the road to Emmaus. They were suddenly joined by a mysterious stranger who walks with them on the road. They're unaware that it was the resurrected Christ, and for some reason they were kept from recognizing him. And when he asked them what they were talking about as they were walking, they said, "We're discussing Jesus of Nazareth. Haven't you heard?" And they told him he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. And notice what they said, "But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." We thought he was the one. We thought he was the Messiah who would redeem us and deliver us. We had hoped he was the one, but now he's dead. And so it looks like we were wrong. Our hopes have been destroyed and shattered. The disciples didn't know what to believe, and they went on to tell, these two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they went on to tell Jesus that some of the women, the lady followers of Jesus, had gone to the tomb and apparently had a vision of angels who told them that Jesus was alive. But when some of the other disciples found out about it, they ran to investigate. They found the tomb empty, but they didn't see anyone else. At least that's what we heard. And uncertain about Jesus, and now whether he's the Messiah or not, maybe we missed it. We were so certain, but we know he died. We know he was buried. We don't know what's happened. We don't know what to believe. Maybe their uncertainty was even some uncertainty about God himself. We thought finally the God of Israel had heard our cry and he was sending us a deliverer. We thought he was fulfilling the promises that he had made through the prophets to restore the throne and house of David, that he was finally going to liberate us and set us free. But once again, here we are disappointed. Once again, we're left to cry out with our fathers, "Oh Lord, how long? How long, oh Lord, how long?" They were uncertain not only about whether Jesus was the Messiah and uncertain about God the Father and his faithfulness and his promises, because here they are waiting again for a Messiah. Now they're uncertain about their own future. Are we going to be next on the Roman hit list or the hit list that the religious leaders have? I mean, remember we talked about it last week. The religious leaders wanted to have Lazarus killed because he was a sign. He had been raised from the dead. And so they thought, "We'll get rid of Lazarus. We'll get rid of Jesus because we don't want people still thinking about the miracles that Jesus had performed." And the disciples are probably thinking, maybe they'll want to kill us as well. What are we going to do? Besides that, we're out of money. We need to get back to Galilee. We need to get back to our life. We need to get back to our fishing. We need to see. But when is it safe to leave the house? When is it going to be safe for us to go back? You know, Matthew's thinking, "I wonder if I can get my old job back as a tax collector." You know, I mean, they're trying to figure this out. And I think we can relate this morning, can't we? Life seems pretty uncertain now. Where is God in all this? And what's he doing? And when's he going to get us out of all this? When's it going to be safe to leave the house? When is it going to be safe for us to meet together again in our workplace? Or when's it going to be safe for us to go back to school or back to church? When do we get our old life back? And is it all hopeless? And I'm telling you this morning, there's reason for hope. Embrace the hope. And not only was the first Easter a little uncertain, but like this Easter of 2020, there were also some mixed stories about what was happening and what it all meant. Conspiracy theories were bouncing around the first century internet just like they are today. I mean, what were they supposed to believe? They were hearing some mixed reports. They were hearing different things, and they're trying to sort it all out. Have you heard I'm sure you have. If you're on social media, you've heard the theories about the virus. Lord help us. It's a plot, and there's a little bit of everything, a hodgepodge of theories out there. It was a plot by the Chinese. It's a plot by the Democrats. It's a plot by the Republicans. It's a plot by Big Pharma. It's a plot by George Soros and Bill Gates. It's a plot to destroy the economy. It's a plot to close down all the churches. It's a plot to defeat Donald Trump. It's a plot by Donald Trump. I mean, there's all kinds of theories out there about everything. I always kind of want to say to the conspiracy theorists, at least some of what I'm seeing and reading, it's like, you are aware this is not just an American phenomenon, right? It's not just about us or our economy. This is a worldwide pandemic. I don't know, are there conspiracy theories in all the other countries? It's a plot by somebody to destroy Boris Johnson and defeat the economy of the UK? Or I'm just so confused. What do we believe in all of it? My theory is that conspiracy theorists have got to be exhausted because they've been working hard these last few weeks coming up with all this stuff and putting stuff out on the internet. Man, they're working as hard as preachers are to keep stuff on the internet. Well, what do we believe in? We've got prophets saying, well, it's this and it's this, and wow, there's a lot of stuff out there. The first Easter had some multiple stories and a share of conspiracy theories even. I mean, there were some conflicting reports. We read the Gospels, like, was there one angel or were there two angels? Or was it just one lady or were there multiple ladies that showed up? Did they immediately rush back and tell people or did they not tell anybody? What was the story on that? When exactly did Mary Magdalene talk to Jesus? And what was he dressed up like a gardener for? Or why did she think he was the gardener? And what's going on? And the chief priest, so we've got conspiracy theories out there because the chief priest and the elders, they paid Roman soldiers to lie and say the disciples of Jesus had stolen the body of Jesus, that they had fallen asleep, and they'd be executed for that. And they said, no, we'll fix it. We'll fix it so the Roman leaders won't do anything to you. Just take the money and run. And they spread this rumor among the people that someone had stolen his body away. Somebody had removed his body to perpetrate a hoax. I mean, seriously. And conspiracy theories about Jesus and the resurrection, they still crop up from time to time, even now. You know, that theory of what was the Da Vinci Code a few years back, or whatever, conspiracy theories. Jesus survived the crucifixion, managed to climb out of the grave clothes and roll the stone away, even though he had been crucified. And he revived somehow. He snuck out of the tomb, married Mary Magdalene, and they went off and retired to the south of France or somewhere. I don't know. I don't know what they did. Opened a little shop somewhere. Fake news, right? What are we supposed to believe? And the disciples are thinking, the women were so certain. But then Peter and John ran and they didn't see anything. They didn't see angels. Although they did see something weird about the grave clothes lying in place in the empty tomb. It was almost like somebody had passed through them instead of unwrapping them and wadding them up and just cast them aside. And they had to think, if somebody was going to steal the body, why would they unwrap the grave clothes and then kind of wrap them back up like they were still around the body? That doesn't make any sense. It'd been easier to carry the guy if he was still wrapped in grave clothes. And then you've got the two disciples that were on the road to Emmaus who hurry back to Jerusalem and tell them, look, we're sure it was Jesus, and we didn't recognize him until we sat down and he started to break bread with us, and then we recognized him, and then at that moment he just disappeared. What do we believe? Man. A lot of doubts, a lot of theories. And you say, well, yeah, what about all the questions about all that? You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like eyewitness accounts, doesn't it? It sounds like eyewitness accounts that, well, I saw this. Well, I was pretty sure about this. And yeah, it was raw truth for us from people who had actually seen what they tell us in the Gospels. And while the disciples are behind locked doors, closed in, trying to figure out what to believe and battling with all the theories and all the uncertainties and all the reports they'd gotten all day, John tells us, suddenly Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And then after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. What do we believe in an unsettling time? I'll tell you what I believe, because there's nothing like a miracle to settle some doubts for us. Here's what I believe. I'm going to believe the Word of God. I'm going to believe this book. I'm going to believe these eyewitness testimonies, the ones that saw him and talked with him and ate with him. I'm going to believe the written testimony of the resurrection. It was and is the heart of the gospel message. I believe it wasn't just some kind of spiritual reality. It's not a metaphor for the rebirth of life at springtime. No, these were eyewitnesses that saw Jesus. He wasn't a ghost. It wasn't a vision. It wasn't an hallucination. The Bible tells us in the gospel accounts that they first thought it was a ghost, and then Jesus said, look, a ghost doesn't have flesh and bone like I do. Here, touch me and feel and see. You can't put your hand through me. I'm real. Touch me. And then he said, you guys got anything to eat? And they handed him a piece of fish, and he ate it with them. He spent time with them. It's the truth of the gospel. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Gentile believers in Corinth that had begun to, somebody had come along and made them question about the realities of the resurrection. And Paul wrote to them and said, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. And Paul says, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep, some have died. In other words, he's writing this dozens of years, 30 years later, and he's saying to them, look, you can still check it out. You can still talk to eyewitnesses who are still alive 40 years later. And he says, and then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, Paul said, he even appeared to me. I'm going to believe the testimony of those who had nothing to gain by testifying to the resurrection of Jesus. Nothing to gain except hardship and persecution and torture and death. Nothing to gain and everything to lose, and yet they proclaimed to the death the truth of his resurrection. I'm going to believe the testimony of the eyewitnesses. I'm going to believe the testimony of the Word of God. I'm going to believe the testimony of the disciples. I'm going to believe the testimony of the church through the centuries. I'm going to believe the testimony of the martyrs that laid down their life because of their faith in Jesus Christ and the resurrection. I'm going to believe the testimony of millions upon millions of changed lives over these past 2,000 years. People who placed their faith in Christ and found him to be Savior and Lord, the one who delivered them and set them free from sin and darkness and made them whole by his saving power and grace. He's enabled them and us to live in that resurrection power that was at work in their life. I'm going to believe my own encounter with a risen Savior who forgave my sins and who's given me life and hope and peace and every blessing in Christ Jesus. I'm going to embrace hope today. Trust me, you can believe the Word of God. You can believe this book is alive and you can believe it. You can believe in the changed lives that we could parade before you. Believe me and my changed life. Embrace the hope that the disciples embraced on that first Easter Sunday. Christ is risen and everything changes. Embrace the hope that's offered on this Easter Sunday. Christ is crucified for us and risen from the dead, and because of that, all things are possible. You see, the resurrection of Jesus from the grave means that everything he said is true. The Bible says God made it clear that Jesus was indeed who he said he was, the Messiah and the Son of God, by the resurrection. And Paul speaks of Jesus when he writes, who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. The resurrection was the exclamation point on the gospel. Declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. You want to start a religion? Yeah. Come up with a good theory, a philosophy of life, and then if you really want me to believe it, get yourself executed, and then 4 days, 3 days later, come back to life and come stand before me and then tell me, and then we can talk about your religion. Nobody's been able to do that. Only one, and that's Jesus. declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. You see, the same one who said he could forgive my sins, the same one who said that he had come that we might have life and have it more abundantly, the same one who said that he came to give his life as a ransom for my sins, the one who said that he was the way and the truth and the life, the one who said that he was the resurrection and the life, and as Pastor Brittany told the kids this morning, that he said, I'm the resurrection and the life, and if you believe in me, even if you die, yet shall you live. The one who said that we could live eternally with him, the same one who told us not to be afraid, that he was going to go and prepare a place for us, and then he would come and receive us someday and take us home so we could be with him forever. The same one who made those claims is the one who died and was buried and rose again on the third day. Talk about an exclamation point. Talk about making a point. I'll say it again. When someone dies and is buried and then on the third day walks out of the tomb alive and is seen by eyewitnesses, as many as 500 at one time, I'm going to pay attention to what he says. You know, someone, I think it was C.S. Lewis, that said either Jesus is a liar because he said he was the Son of God and he wasn't, that makes him a liar, or he was a lunatic because he says he was the Son of God and a person must be crazy, or he's Lord, one or the other. He's not just a good man, not just a good guy, not and tell us all that unless he really was who he said he was. He is Jesus, the Son of the living God, Messiah, Savior, Lord, and coming King. I believe this word. I believe in Jesus, and I believe in the resurrection, and because of that, I have hope. And the hope we have this morning is not wishful thinking based on a fantasy, or based on a book of fiction. It is a hope based on the faithful promises of God that are now made certain and validated by Jesus' resurrection from the dead. You see, the Bible recognizes there is hope in no other. And Paul says, if Christ is not raised, then Paul says, then our faith is futile. If Christ is not raised, Paul says, then we're still dead in our trespasses and sins. If Christ is not raised, then none of us are going to be raised. There's nothing beyond this. We're just going to die and they put us in the ground and that's all there is. There's nothing. This life is just a cruel joke. Paul says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we're to be pitied more than all men. But he immediately and quickly writes, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Friends, there is hope for us because Christ is risen. Indeed, he's been risen from the dead. Embrace the hope. And so the Apostle Peter writes, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Embrace the impact of living in hope today. See, if you put your faith in Christ and made him Savior and Lord of life, then you've been born again into a living hope. I love that phrase. Born again into a living hope. It's a certainty. It's a certain hope. It is true. A living hope. And we don't have to live in slavery to sin because through his death on the cross, he's provided salvation from sin. You've been set free. There's hope for you today. Believe in him and live free from your burden of guilt and sin. We don't have to live under that any longer. There's hope for you today. We don't have to fear death because Jesus conquered death, rising triumphant over the grave. The Bible says, as in one man, through Adam, sin came into the world, and because of sin comes death, so through one man, Jesus, comes resurrection for all who will put their trust in him. There's hope for you today. Live in that hope. You don't have to be afraid of death. There's eternal life for all who put their trust in Christ. We don't have to fear life because Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. He promised to never leave us and never to forsake us. You can face today. You can face tomorrow with hope because Jesus walks with you. There is hope for you today. Jesus told his disciples during that last week of his life in John 14, before long the world won't see me anymore, but you'll see me. Because I live, you also will live. The choir sang for us this morning Bill and Gloria Gaither's song, Because He Lives. That chorus says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. What a powerful truth for us today. Because he lives, we have hope. Don't allow despair to pull you down. Embrace the hope that's ours in Christ today. I know it may seem dark right now, but because of Jesus' death and resurrection, because he lives, we live in hope. We've been born again into that living hope, into a new hope. We live in light of that hope. Because he lives, we also will live. Because he lives, death may threaten us, but death no longer reigns. Jesus triumphed over death and over the grave. Because he lives, yeah, Satan may threaten and try to defeat us, but Jesus triumphed over Satan when he rose from the dead. Jesus' victory is our victory today. Jesus, his triumph is our triumph. He lives, and we also live. Let me just say this morning, if you've been living without hope, I invite you to embrace the hope that is found in Jesus Christ, the risen Savior and Lord of life. This message is just for you today. Hope is for you. Salvation, it's for you. Jesus loves you, and he came so that you could have life, and that you could have hope, and that you could know his peace. He came so you wouldn't have to die in your sin and be lost and separated from God. He came so that you could be in relationship with God, in fellowship with him and with your Heavenly Father now and forever. He came so that you could be free. This message is for you today. There's hope for you. He came so you could live in hope. Believe it. Embrace the hope today. Open your heart to him. Open your heart to Jesus. Turn to him today and receive him into your heart and life. Tell him, just tell him the truth this morning. Tell him, Lord, I'm tired of living in defeat, and I'm tired of living without hope, and I'm tired of living in the sin that I've been living in. I'm tired of the way this is going. And tell him that you want that new life, that new birth into a living hope. You want that new birth of hope that's found in Christ alone. And the Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, if we'll ask him to forgive us of our sin and surrender our life to him, he'll give us that eternal life. He'll save us from our sin. His saving grace can change you from the inside out. And what a glorious way to celebrate Easter with new life, new resurrection life in Christ. Embrace that hope. Embrace that hope. Earlier I said the disciples that had gathered on that first Easter evening were wondering when they could get their old life back. When will we get our life back? And then Jesus showed up, and guess what? They never got their old life back. Because the truth is, they didn't want that old life back. Jesus had greater plans for them. And friends, he's got greater plans for you. They got a brand new life in him. They discovered what Jesus meant when he talked about an abundant life. And 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, they received power to become witnesses of Jesus and his resurrection. And they went out, and the Bible says they turned the world upside down. Jesus had a better, greater plan for his disciples, and he's got a better, greater plan for you as well. Will you embrace the hope that he brings this morning? Will you embrace that new life that can be yours when you surrender your heart and life to Christ? Trust him and allow him to change you and to change your life for the better forever. Ask him for that new life. Embrace the hope that we find in a risen Savior. So I want us to pray together this morning. And if Jesus is not the Savior and Lord of your life, if you're living without hope, I want you to ask him to come into your heart. Lord Jesus, I pray right now for friends who are watching today that are living without hope. They're living without you as Savior and Lord of their life. Lord, I pray that you would come right now. And as they call upon you, the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. As they call upon you, Lord, would you save them and deliver them from sin and from fear and from the worry and from the despair of life? Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd come into their heart and into their life. Just tell him in your own words today, Jesus, I need you to save me. I want that new life, that new birth of living hope that I can find in you. Ask him, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Take my sin away and give me your life and your right standing with God. I want to be in right relationship with you and right relationship with the Father. And so I put my hope and trust in you. I believe you died on the cross for me. You took my place and you bore the penalty for my sin. And now I receive your life, your forgiveness, and your grace in my life. Let it be, Lord, as you bring salvation in Jesus' name. Maybe you know Jesus as Savior and Lord, but you've been overwhelmed by all that's going on, and there's been loss and brokenness, and you're just feeling hopeless today. I want you to embrace the hope that is ours through Christ Jesus. As the song said, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. And I want to pray for you. And so, Father, for those who know you and who serve you, but they've just been overwhelmed by all that's been going on in the last few weeks, Lord, I pray for an infusion of hope into their heart and into their life today. I pray, Lord, for the peace of God that passes understanding to comfort their hearts and their minds, to assure them of your presence. Lord, I pray that you would just surround them with your peace, that they would trust in you and know, Lord, that because they've placed their faith in Christ, they can face tomorrow without fear. They can face the future knowing that Christ, you are in control, and we can rest it all in you. Lord, we choose to embrace hope today, not despair, not fear, not worry, not doubt. We won't be anxious for anything, as the epistle says. Instead, in everything, we'll make our prayers and petitions with thanksgiving known to you, and the peace of God will fill our hearts and our lives. Lord, fill us with your peace as we embrace the hope of the risen Savior. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. I want to invite you to be part of the choir this morning. I want us to sing that chorus, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I'm going to slip to the piano.
You say, well, I don't usually sing. Well, that's all right. Gather everybody around. Or if you're there alone, then you can sing at the top of your lungs and nobody's gonna say anything. But let's sing this little chorus together. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Now that you're warmed up, let's do it again. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Amen. Amen. You sounded good, I have to say.
I want to thank you for watching us today. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for joining us for Easter. Let me just tell you, if you ask Jesus into your heart and life this morning, let us know. Reach out to us, or maybe you know, if you don't know me personally, if you know somebody else that's a believer, call them, text them, email them, and say, hey, I prayed along with a preacher today and asked Jesus into my heart and life. But we'd love for you to contact us, to let us know. You can email us. You can reach us at our website, cagtulsa.com. And just connect with us, reach out to us on Facebook or social media. But let somebody know you've made this decision. If you've got a Bible, or you can download one on your phone or whatever, read about Jesus. Start reading the Gospels. We read Good Friday and this morning from the Gospel of Mark. Read what Mark has to say. the story, the revelation of Jesus, or read the Gospel of John. It's another great place to start. Read any of the Gospels, but read the Word of God and study together. And so let us know, reach out about that. In the meantime, we love you, we miss you. Take care of each other, continue to bless one another, watch out for each other. Join us on Wednesday night. Look for us on Facebook and all the other ways. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Embrace the hope of the resurrection. And until the next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Easter Sunday.